Transmitting to the world.
Breitbart News Daily. This is your host, Stephen K. Bannon. My wingman, Alex.
My entire reason for being is to end racism and to make it so that black people and Hispanics in this country have the freedom to think like they want to think.
From the Global News Network of Breitbart.com, this is Breitbart News Daily.
White Area and Resistance calling. White Area and Resistance calling. This is White Area and Resistance, and this is Terrible Tommy. Tom Metzger back in the bunker after a absence of a few days. Wow, man, I'll tell you, I'm like a fish out of water. I don't know what to do. I end up having to do all this honeydew stuff, you know? So I'm glad I'm back in the bunker this morning, and the workmen are out of here, and we got the new cells in here. We had to take a couple of these people, like Jerry the Jew, out of here, because some stuff we sprayed in here was sort of like Zyklon B, and we didn't want to be accused of being anti-Semitic, okay? So I tied him up and took him out through the woods, and we took a trip all over the place, and so I brought them back this morning, and so we're all fresh and ready to go, and the cells are built, and boy, they're really solid. We put platinum bars in there because we don't want these guys getting away. Yeah, sometimes these Jews, they can chew their way right through a regular cell bars. I'll tell you, it's something else. You got to really have them reinforced. Hey, we're at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581, and that's where you send your May donations for the radio show. And we're all set to go, and I'll tell you, I tried to, in fact, I taped a report off of Breitbart this morning that pissed me off. I lost it. But it confirmed everything I said way back in this campaign. They're reporting now that the Republican registration is up by millions all over the country. And also that the Democratic registration is down by, if not millions, hundreds of thousands. So that's an interesting event that I told you what was going to happen. The Republicans desperately needed to reinvigorate their registration list, and they have done it, and big time. And guess who did it for them? Like I told you, Donald Trump. And now we're hearing the murmurs of what's going to happen at the convention, and how they may slip somebody else in there in front of Donald. But I don't know. This has got a lot of traction. I think that they may have a little problem there, so it's interesting that let's see, what is it today? Tomorrow is election day here in Indiana, and of course the Cruz fundamentalist Christian bunch are really pushing it everywhere, and I dare to say that 90% of the preachers and priests in this state yesterday gave a pitch for Cruz as a nice Christian boy. You want to bet on that? What happened? If you go to church and you live in Indiana, did you hear any of that on Sunday? I'll bet you did. Indiana has two big problems. One is the fundamentalist Christians, that if you don't think they're running things around in league with the Republican Party, you just got to come here and sit around a while, watch television, and read the newspapers, because they're totally, totally in control. But they are the watered down version of the Republican. In other words, they're like the straight ticket Republicans around here. That's, you see, the governor came out, and of course he's opposing Donald Trump. And that's another thing. The other thing I see that's bad in this state is that the people, especially in this part of the state, think their crap don't stink. There's something about them. They got an air, they got an attitude, and I don't think they deserve the attitude, but they're sort of better than other people, and any kind of off the wall or different idea, they're automatically against it. I was talking to my gal the other day, and I said, you know, I think I figured out why I left Indiana at 18. She said, why? I said, because I saw the hypocrisy of the people and this religiosity and this fundamentalist Christianity and the machine politics, even at 18. That's why I left in the first place. Who knows? I might leave again. I hear that this information on this rise in Republican registration, you can find out about it up at, what's his name? What's that guy's name? Got all that new stuff? Yeah, the Drudge Report. He's got all that information on the differences in registration. Now, here's something here that you may find interesting. Cruz was given a speech, and some Hoosier kid in the background. He gave him what for?
A postcard. And when we do that... All right, apparently there's a young man who's having some problems. Thank you, son. You know, I appreciate your sharing your views. You know, one of the things that hopefully someone has told you is that children should actually speak with respect.
And some speak with wisdom, like he yelled at him, "You suck, Cruz."
He was injured in the melee outside his Costa Mesa rally last night. Spoke to CBS2 Orange County reporter Michelle Geely.
And I just suddenly, out of nowhere, felt a thud in the front of my head.
A local news blogger who's a Trump supporter, a Costa Mesa officer, and a horse in the Huntington Beach Police Mounted Unit all were assaulted as the Donald Trump rally on Thursday night in Orange County spiraled into a raucous melee in the streets around the fairgrounds. Costa Mesa patrol car and a Fountain Valley unit were badly damaged by anti-Trump protesters. This incredible video posted to YouTube shows a driver spinning donuts inches from the crowd and law enforcement. No one has been caught for assaulting Mission Viejo's Cole Bartiromo. The online blogger, who needed 6 stitches, admits that he got into the middle of the chaos to document it. Someone knocked off his Trump hat, hurled slurs at him, and then slugged him.
And I started panicking, getting scared, thinking, well, when are they going to stop? Maybe they're going to kill me. These aren't rational people.
17 people were arrested by Costa Mesa police for refusing to leave. All but 2 were in their teens and their 20s from L.A. and Orange counties and the Inland Empire. The total number of law enforcement topped 300 here, which will cost the fairgrounds, which is run by the state, tens of thousands of dollars. And Costa Mesa, Michelle.
Well, this kind of stuff is going on all over the country as Trump supporters or what he's saying is being attacked by the Untermenschen, the slimes, and this is good. White people are going to have to get beaten into the ground before they may stand up and fight because you hear the way they sound. Well, I can't understand why he did that to me. It's because he hates your guts and he hates your skin, stupid. And he hates what some of the stuff that Trump is talking about. And these white people, they got to get retrained in the streets, I'm going to tell you, man. So I'm happy that they're getting their faces punched. I'm happy. I'm not going to apologize for it. I want them to attack white people everywhere they go. Wherever there's anything political or anything going on, punch Whitey until he gets his mind right. Well, here's a little bit for you Le Pen lovers from France, conservative right-winger. French right-wing veteran Jean-Marie Le Pen on Sunday said his daughter, Marine, was doomed to lose in the presidential elections next year, throwing the spotlight on their family feud at the National Front's May 1st celebrations. Marine Le Pen forced her father, the FN's founder, out of the party last year over comments playing down the German Holocaust. The feud burst into the open after she had sought to soften the anti-immigration party's image to help requests for power. Looks like daddy's staying hardcore. Well, you know, the mayor of Paris just got in big trouble because he said that the National Socialist of Hitler's day made a deal with the Zionist. And there's plenty of evidence to show he did, including 3 million Jews were over there in Palestine, had got out, 3 million of them. Anyhow, they even struck a coin to commemorate the deal with the Zionist symbol on one side, Star David, and the swastika on the other. So that doesn't make any difference. They want to kill this mayor. They want to drive him out of office and everything else and replace him with this Islamic guy. They're poised to put an Islamic guy as mayor of Paris to show you how bad it is. But here's a guy, when they interviewed him, he said, well, I'm just telling the truth. They made a deal with the Zionists, and for that he's going to get run out of office. See, truth don't make any difference anymore. That's, what good does it do to talk or be interviewed by the press when you tell them the truth and they won't even print it, or they'll say, you're lying. So it's ridiculous. Even though I'm not a big supporter of Mr. Le Pen because of his love affairs with the conservative right-wing types, that I don't know. It'd take me a while to explain it, but I don't. But anyhow, at least he's standing strong on this, so I give him credit for that. Goes on to say, quote, I say it with gravity and sadness, but since there have been no efforts on her part for reconciliation, the FN president will lose in the second round and maybe even in the first. Jean-Marie Le Pen told reporters at a Paris ceremony before a statue of Joan of Arc. Well, if somebody's going to go off the rails and go against the main things you're arguing about and fighting for, the hell with her. Dump her. Remember, in the last election she ran in, she was appealing to Islamic people to vote with her, and she had Islamic people working in their political party. When France is on the verge of being totally overrun by Islamics.
Day about this predictive modeling. What do you got to tell us about this?
Yeah, Matt and I have done a series of four in the last week political computational analysis articles, exclusive, that, you know, three have been the top, as you said, top feature stories on Drudge Report. And let's recap those real quick before I go into what we're releasing tomorrow, which I think will really get some wide exposure out there. The first one was last Monday. We showed that the GOP primary turnout for 2016 versus 2012 was well up over 62%, or 8.5 million new voters, which after the elections last week, it's actually over 10 million new voters. Some of the highlights, you know, of that data and research include Arkansas increasing their votes by over 200%, New York 400% new primary voters, or 700,000 new people, and Texas doubled their primary voter turnout with 1.4 million new voters. Our second article was released middle of last week, and it showed that Donald Trump's popular primary votes as compared to Mitt Romney in 2012 was up over 2 million votes, with some of those highlights being that Donald Trump exceeded by more than 30% the votes in Massachusetts, or Mitt Romney's own home state. And in Donald Trump's home state, he exceeded Mitt Romney's popular vote by four times what Mitt Romney gathered in 2012. Our next story, which ran, I think, middle of last week, Wednesday or Thursday, also made a top Drudge feature story, showed that the Democratic turnout for primary as compared to 2008, we couldn't go to 2012 because there, you know, wasn't a Democrat primary, but it's collapsed more than 20%. So we've got GOP primary votes up 10 million, Democrats year-to-year comparison down 4.5 million or 20%, with some of those highlights.
So Republicans up 10 million and the Democrats are down significantly, right?
Yeah, 4.5 million. And some of the highlights of that, states like Ohio, a battleground state, has dropped 50% or 1.2 million primary voter turnout. You know, Mississippi down 50%, Arkansas down 30%, Tennessee down 40%, Texas gained 1.4 million new GOP voters, but it lost primary turnout of 1.5 million Democrat primary voter turnout.
We're jammed for time here. Let's go to this. What are you breaking tomorrow? But what is predictive model, and what are you guys breaking tomorrow?
Well, before I go into this, let me say this. This is not the express opinion of Breitbart or any writer or Matt Boyle or myself. This is based upon the prediction markets, which is, you know, the betting markets, which is conclusively always shown to
This is the modern equivalent of Intrade. Intrade was so predictive in the last cycle.
Yeah, to be more accurate.
But it got shut. It got shut down.
Well, this is run by the top computational mathematics analyst in the planet. Predictive was launched by the University of New Zealand and incorporates the mathematics and computational science division of Columbia Business School, Dartmouth, University of Illinois, the Pew Research Center. In fact, the head of Microsoft Research has a great hyperlink in this article to his PBS NewsHour special. And basically what the data shows, which is not the opinion of myself or Matt Boyle, but it shows that the prediction markets show that Cruz has cratered in after his deal with John Kasich.
So this predictive model, your show tomorrow, this predictive model shows that actually analytically by metrics that on the announcement of the Kasich deal, the mathematics just dropped. They don't give a reason for that. They just take an event, put it on the event horizon, and show what the math is.
Well, this is pure fact. This is not emotion. We're not stumping for anybody. We're not saying Cruz did something wrong. But the market showed that Ted Cruz was ahead in Indiana by a huge margin up and until April the 19th when on Donald Trump's big win in New York, Donald Trump started to rise. And that on the date, the exact and specific date, on April the 23rd, that this supposed Ted Cruz or John Kasich coalition or partnership, it showed that he dropped 40%. And that with the announcement of Carly Fiorina as his running mate, and actually with this kind of moderate endorsement by Governor Pence, it has had negligible, if not negative, effect. As a matter of fact, I pulled the data as of yesterday morning, and I had to change it late last night with Matt because during the day yesterday, it moved even more in favor of, Donald Trump.
We've got to jump, but let me ask you, when is this article coming out tomorrow?
It's coming out today.
Oh, it's coming out today. You guys anticipate it's going to be up, late morning?
As soon as I get a hold of Matt and he posts it up. But right now, if you put up 13 cents, it'll turn into a dollar tomorrow if Ted Cruz wins Indiana.
Andy Bottolato.
So there you go. I told you so. And when did I predict this? What, 3 months ago? 2 months ago? Yeah. It's a clever ploy. And since the behind-the-scenes guys set it up, they don't really care if Donald does become the front runner and goes against Hillary, because if he's really got the thing behind him, he'll beat her, and that's the most important thing to the Republican hierarchy. Then Trump can do whatever he wants to do. He's not tied to anything. Of course, none of these candidates, once they get into office, are tied to anything. But you see, they keep calling, saying he's not a conservative. He's not a conservative. Of course, he's not a conservative. He's a rich populist, is what he is. And I'll take populism any day to conservatism. And most people don't know that. They don't understand the difference, So this thing that the Republicans think, that the Republicans have all got to be conservatives. Well, conserve what? What the hell are you conserving? I don't know of anything you're conserving except our enemies. And people like Hillary Clinton, who's no apologies for her. She's a damn, what's his name? Wait a minute here. Anyhow, she's as red as hell. I mean, red by any other name is still red. And she's still in love with that guy in Chicago. Anyhow, Hillary and her husband, Bill, have been Manchurian candidates from the word go. They've always been Manchurian candidates. Sometimes they'll vary a little bit just to snow people a little bit more, but they're Manchurian candidates, and she is the worst of the worst. She even reminds me of that woman that was in the first Manchurian candidate, the mother of the controlled subject for president. She's even more shrill than she was. You know, everybody keeps talking about how China is screwing us and all that stuff, and they are, but you got to understand one thing. The predatory capitalists working with the Chinese government are destroying the Chinese. I mean, their rivers are so polluted, they're like black crude oil. Disease is running rampant in China. Their water supplies are dropping average 10 feet a year. And all the people who, millions have moved into the cities from the countryside. And what's going to happen with that void out there in the countryside? Well, they got big problems with the Islamics in Western China, and those Islamics are going to start pouring into those empty villages and stuff. You wait and see. China has major, major problems. So what's supposed to be their salvation has been predatory capitalists are killing China. Yeah. The only thing good about it is they got all the ecological crap pretty much out of the country, even though we don't have as many jobs. At least the rivers are cleaner, the air is cleaner, and so forth. So we sent all that shit to China and other places. The news lately here in Indiana has been bragging about how wonderful the business climate is in Indiana now. Well, in reality, what happened was the right to work law. Yeah, the right to work cheap law to keep the wages down in Indiana. And, of course, they've been down and around all around the country for a long time. But they're flocking here. They're building industrial stuff like mad because they've got a slave labor, or at least poorly paid. And then they're bringing in Indians and so forth from Asia here in the medical splint industry, Zimmer's and different companies. They're bringing a whole lot of these people in that they could get them here in this country, but they don't do it because they can pay these guys. And they're bringing men, they're men they're bringing in without women. And so guess what? They'll be looking for usually white women because there's not a bunch of Indian women around here for them to choose from. So it's that stuff about it's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Indiana. Well, and a lot of the workers fall for that shit, you know. They won't strike or anything else. I mean, you know, they go along with it because as long as I got my bare mouth out of the way, Tavia, I ain't going to say nothing. I don't want to get fired. So most of the time, the workers deserve what they get, really. Well, I see Daniel Berrigan, father, a priest, Berrigan, died at 94. He was a big-time anti-war priest during the Vietnam War, and he was in the headlines about every day, along with his brother, and I forget what his name was. I think he's already dead, his brother, but they were quite important in the anti-war Vietnam era. So you see a massive fire engulfs a historic New York church on Orthodox Easter, and a four-alarm fire engulfs a Serbian church hours after its Easter celebration. Well, I hate to be a... Well, no, I don't hate to be. Those Serbs don't like those Muslims very much. Especially after what the United States and the Muslims did to Serbia. I wouldn't be shocked if it turns out that a Muslim set fire to that church. Keep an eye on the news. On the other hand, it might be a Jew or Zionist or somebody who burnt the church, because the Orthodox Church is not that in bed with the Jews like the American Catholics are. What do you think about that pervert Hastert's confession of child molestation that he did years ago? And he ended up getting, what, 15 months? 15 months! If he'd been a white or a black working guy, he'd have gotten years and years. It was interesting how some of the top senators and congressmen came out even after he was convicted and supported him. That's very interesting. Maybe he's got something on them. Well, another big shot rabbi kicked the bucket. Rabbi Ben Zion Gold died at the age of 92, the longtime director of the Harvard Hillel. He had grown up in a Hasidic community in central Poland and was sometimes referred to as a Harvarder Rebbe, a semi-joke that conveyed a truth about the man. Isn't it interesting how many of these Jews, and especially after World War II, got here from Poland? Now, according to my information, they were supposed to have been all killed. They're all dead. But boy, we got every time I turn on the TV, there's a Jewish guy or gal from Poland. Do you notice that? A religious Christian insanity is back in the news. This guy wrote, on April 28th, I joined a multiracial group of Christian shysters and scholars in releasing a statement confessing resistance to Donald Trump as a Christian obligation. Oh, how about, do you have any obligations to the country or to your state or at least your race, huh? Indeed, I helped draft a statement signed by dozens of leaders such as Jim Walls, Otis Moss III, Shane Claiborne, and Lisa Sharon Harper, which must mean something to religious fanatics, but nothing to me. This statement has been under development for some time and was very carefully drafted in a multi-round process of conversation and editing. Evangelicals, such as many of us are, that's the belly of the beast right there, Christ insanity, would say that it was written prayerfully, unquote. The statement stems from the shared sense of the signers that the Trump phenomenon challenges Christians at a core moral value, such that faithfulness to Jesus Christ, faith is insane as far as I'm concerned, you having a belief in something you can't prove even exists. Faithfulness to Jesus Christ is at stake in how American Christians respond to him. Now Trump's got Jesus against him. The language of the confessional resistance harkens back to two moments in the 20th century history which groups of Christians in a particular context made major statements claiming that the very purity of the faith that Christians confess was at stake in a political phenomenon, such as the failure to resist represented a failure to follow Jesus. Those two instances were, surprise, surprise, Nazi Germany, and surprise, surprise, apartheid South Africa. You had to know that was coming. While no direct comparison is intended, not intended. The language of the confessional resistance draws on that history. Yeah. Any such claims from Christians about a political figure, party, regime, or policy need to be made very carefully and very sparingly. That's because politics is messy and political figures and parties almost inherently evoke starkly different responses. Our statement is not a mere declaration of political preference or candidate taste. Well, that's for sure. It's about something much more fundamental. Oh, I'm not going to go farther into this because when church gets involved in politics, I leave the room. Totally leave the room. Because you can't possibly be an expert on anything but your mythology when you try to use mythology and myths to back up something that is tangible. It would only be an accident if it did. I've said many times over the years, and you'll search my radio shows, you'll hear it, I have more respect for a local gasoline station attendant than I do for a preacher. Here's a letter of response to that article I was reading. Article 4 of the Constitution says there will be no religious test for public office. There was little contention from the founders on this issue. Most of the colonies were theocracies and had religious tests. You had to believe in God and or believe Jesus died in order to run for office. Some states still have that in their constitutions today, unenforceably. What these Christians are saying is that electing a non-religious Christian will take whatever power the religious right still has over our government and our legal system. They have lost on every issue, the last being gay marriage. Christianity is shrinking in America by 2% a year. Millennials and under 25s have walked away from organized religion, and churches are closing from lack of interest. Trump's religiosity more matches America's than Cruz's. Cruz wants a Christian theocracy. Trump just wants us to be happy.
First at 11, a teenager in Queens ends up brutally beaten by a gang of men. And a witness says the attack could have ended up much worse. CBS News' Dave Carlin has new information on the hate crime investigation.
On this surveillance video, three suspects believed to be teenagers who were on 10th Street near 33rd Road with weapons midday on Wednesday. Police say they targeted their 19-year-old victim based on his race. One of the young suspects allegedly yelled "Arab" as the teen was sucker punched twice in the face. Police say a baseball bat and a pipe were in the hands of the two other teens, and one of them allegedly yelled "ISIS, ISIS." In the surveillance video, you see what appears to be that pipe. Neighbor Ron Garcia was on the sidewalk and says he witnessed the attack.
By this gate right there, they pushed him up there, and that's when they went to take the swing on the pipe with him. And he averted it, like he moved out of the way, and then he made his way to me. And when he made his way to me, that's when they ran down this block. They made the left on 33rd Road.
Ray Bisram is the victim's father and says his son has a big bump on his head, but did not go to the hospital.
It was shocking because it happened so fast. You know.
He calls the three suspects hoodlums who must be caught soon. All the suspects are described as having black hair. They're in their late teens and all just under 6 feet tall. One is clean shaven, one has a beard, and one has what is described as a chin strap beard. Police believe the main thing that made them run away was seeing Ron Garcia walking over to them.
Well, well, well. The World Jewish Congress on Monday accused the German unit of the YouTube of failing to stop neo-Nazis from using the online video channel to distribute thousands of anti-Semitic attacks. The WJC sent Philip Justice, the managing director of the German unit, the German unit of YouTube parent company Google, a letter demanded more decisive action to take down illegal material praising the Holocaust and Hitler. Well, it's not illegal, you idiot. Why is it that Google steadfastly refuses to take action against the proliferation of racist and anti-Semitic material on its platforms? Executive Vice President Robert Singer of the New York-based World Jewish Congress, color him a fascist, I guess, wrote in a letter made available to AFP. Do you really believe that songs glorifying or inciting to the mass murder of Jews fall under freedom of speech? Of course. Singer highlighted one song in particular in Belsen by far-right group Commando Freisler, which he said was widely available and on YouTube, despite the fact that it had been banned in Germany and the band members behind it given suspended jail sentences in 2009 for inciting racial hatred. Singer referenced a previous letter of complaint dated from last September by the director of the memorial at the former Bergen-Belsen concentration camp, Jens Christian Wagner, asked for in Belsum to be blocked. Yeah, like they did Tom Metzger. WJC spokesman Michael Tidegsonman said that the letter had received no response and that following a report on the letter in the mass-selling German daily Bild newspaper on Saturday, many but not all versions of the song had been pulled from YouTube. Further tracks from the same album and thousands of clips from other neo-Nazi bands could also still be seen, he said. It is obvious that Google, YouTube, does not seriously deal with this matter and kiss the asses of us Jews, which you are obliged to do, that it lacks any proactive attitude, and that even when offensive posts are being flagged, it is very slow to remove the incriminating files from its service, he said. If I posted something about Adele or Taylor Swift, you can be bet it'd be gone in a few hours, he said, referring to the company's approach to copyright violations. A spokesman for YouTube's German unit said that the company had clear guidelines to ban hate speech against certain groups or content that incites racial hatred. Well, that's discrimination against certain groups. Yeah, that's discrimination. Yeah, well, that's the way it goes. Well, a man arrested for plotting to blow up a Miami synagogue on Passover. FBI agents arrested a Hollywood man Friday night for attempting to blow up the Aventura Turnberry Jewish Center in Miami, according to the Miami Herald. You notice how these guys, they always plan and plot, but they never get it pulled off. He was infiltrated from the start, or it was an FBI plot in the beginning. They need one once in a while. They need to blow up something once in a while just to keep the dog and pony show going. Boy, these so-called hate crimes are growing by leaps and bounds. Man is wanted for drawing 5 swastikas on Jewish houses in Marine Park, wherever that's at. Italian police arrest suspects planning an attack on the Vatican and the Israeli embassy in Rome. Wisconsin man charged with hate crime for anti-Semitic vandalism. Gee. Israeli opposition leader invites Corbyn to Jerusalem amid anti-Semitism row. I think Corbyn's the mayor of London, I guess it is. The number of hate crimes against Jews in Britain has reached a shocking new high, campaigners warned today. An alarming new report tells all. Hate crime against Sikhs, those are guys with the turbans, continue in the U.S. In yet another incident of hate crime against Sikhs in the U.S., a Sikh man was pulled off from a bus and detained for nearly 30 hours. Wow. Uh-oh, here's that Breitbart bunch. Police forces recording a 25.7% in hate crime against Jews, making it the worst year on record for anti-Semitic crime. Yeah, that Breitbart news is an interesting bunch. Get this. A man from Omaha was found guilty of felony hate crime charges for stealing and publicly burning a rainbow homosexual pride flag off his neighbor's porch. Can you believe that? He's going to go to jail for that? Next time, burn an American flag. They won't prosecute you for that.
If we win Indiana, it's over, okay? And if we win Indiana, it's over. It's over. And we're going to get there. I shouldn't say this because it takes away your incentive. We're going to get there anyway. But if we win in there, and most people think that they quit the race, and then we can focus on crooked Hillary. Please, let's focus on Hillary. We're going to make America great again. I love you, Indiana. Get out and vote on Tuesday. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. They have Kasich or whoever he is. And here's the stuff. Here's the stuff. Heidi. So we have Cruz, or we have Kasich, or whoever he is. And here's the story. Here's the story.
Heidi Cruz, nice woman, said, my husband, you heard about this, right? Said this one, my husband's an immigrant, right? Is an immigrant. And that's what I've been saying. Except a lot of people, I think she was trying to say, she was trying to put the little bit of a Latin turn on it. He was born in Canada, folks. He was born in Canada. One thing I tell you, number one, he can't win. Got no path to win. And even if he had a path to win, which he doesn't, he has very few votes and he has very few delegates. But I've been saying, he wasn't born in this country. And the first thing the Democrats would do, assuming he won, which he won't, so it doesn't matter, I'm not even playing that card, is they will bring a lawsuit against him saying that he's not a naturalized citizen, that he wasn't born on the land. He was born in Canada, lived there for 4 years. There's a whole big thing. I've had the biggest, the best lawyers of the world tell me, can't run. Now, the Democrats are sitting back with one of the best lawyers of the world. If Cruz ever got lucky, and he can't, but if he ever got lucky and got the nomination, he will be sued immediately. He won't be allowed to run. So lots of luck. Other than that, isn't he wonderful? He's wonderful, okay? So we'll see what happens. But his wife just said, my husband is an immigrant. And I said, when I heard it, that's what I've been saying. But we don't want to get her in trouble, so let's not use that, right?
Well, there you go. This is going to be the most fun I've had since I first voted. I'm not voting this time. I haven't voted for two or three times. But this is going to be the most fun I've had in years. This is what you do on the job training. Train for civil upheaval and revolution, but have a good time while you're doing it. It's fun.
State in Iraq and Syria, or ISIS, has drawn recruits from all over the world, so-called foreign fighters. The U.S. Director of National Intelligence has put the number at 38,000, including an estimated 250 recruits from the United States. But this week, the Pentagon said the pace of ISIS recruiting has dropped 75% from 2,000 fighters a month to 500. One reason, according to the military, consistent U.S.-led airstrikes on ISIS positions. Joining me now from Washington to discuss this is Doug Ollivant, a retired U.S. Army lieutenant colonel and now a partner at the global management consulting firm Manted International. Nice to see you. Thanks for talking with me. How accurate do you think these numbers are?
They're probably a good guesstimate. It wouldn't surprise me if there's a 10% tolerance either way, but I think we have a pretty good feel for how large the flow is, and certainly we can see it's down. So it might not be 25%, but it is significantly fewer than a year or two ago.
And does this give you any insight into exactly what is happening inside of ISIS?
Several things are happening. First, as the military points out, they're killing a whole bunch of them. But ISIS has lost significant amounts of territory inside Iraq and Syria. And perhaps just as importantly, they've lost a lot of their money. We've actually physically blown up large stocks that they had in banks and houses in Mosul. And as we know, we've also cut off their ability to smuggle out the oil. So they no longer have the appearance of winning in Iraq and Syria. They've lost major cities and they can't pay large salaries.
Do you think this indicates then that there's going to be a movement from this idea of creating a caliphate in Syria and Iraq to having lone wolves, if you will, stay where they are?
We are hearing some reports that actually now is what ISIL is telling people that they're talking to on social media. Don't come here, stay home. I think that's making lemonade out of lemons. They can't pay them, so instead they tell them to stay home. But that's obviously something we're just as concerned about, if not more so. Are these radical jihadists in their home countries doing these lone wolf or very small group attacks?
So ultimately, does this drop lead to people outside of ISIS, obviously, feeling safer? I mean, if you have a number of lone wolves who are operating, and I would think some of these attacks are relatively low cost and maybe not even organized by a network, does the end goal feel like we're safer?
Well, no. If this is good news for the fight in Iraq and Syria, this is bad news, particularly for Europe, where a much larger percentage of these foreign fighters come from, and for that matter, the other countries in the region, the Saudis, the Tunisians being the two largest countries providing foreign fighters. If their radicals stay home, you have to wonder what they're going to do there.
Mm, Golovin. Thanks for talking with us.
Gee, those lone wolves are bad boys. I guess ISIS caught on too late. They try to bump heads with the system. They can't win that way. Sooner or later, they'll be destroyed. But lone wolves? Not going to happen. They can be anywhere, anytime, any place, and do whatever they decide to do. Whether it's propaganda, or whether it's engineering, or whether it's education, or whether it's television producing, no matter what it is, a lone wolf can do it right where he's at, or she is at. I like that. I think they're going to find out that trying to stamp out ISIS, and sort of like trying to stamp out a campfire in the woods. Did you ever try to do that? Sparks went everywhere, and pretty soon you got a fire all over the woods. Well, here's something I'm sure the Trump people don't need. The Klan keeps trying to get into the act. The Imperial Wizard of the Rebel Brigade Knights of the Ku Klux Klan told a local news station in Virginia that the KKK is no longer a hate group. We don't hate anybody. We love every black person, every Mexican, every chinkaroo, every homosexual, every bisexual, we love them all. In fact, that's what we were invented for, to love people. Wait a minute. I think Donald Trump would be the best for the job, he said. The reason a lot of Klan members like Donald Trump is because a lot of what he believes in, we believe in. We want our country to be safe, the KKK leader said, who refused to give his name. Oh, man. He went on to say that he supports Trump's calls to temporarily ban Muslims from entering the United States. Well, how about permanently keeping them out? Huh? How about that, you know? If Donald Trump dropped out tomorrow, I would support Kasich before I would Ted Cruz, because he's not an American citizen, said the Imperial Wizard. Even if I agree with some of the things Ted Cruz says, I would not respect him because he was born in Canada. He's not an American citizen. Wow. The Imperial Wizard also defended his organization, saying, no, we are not a hate group. We don't hate nobody. We hate no one, to an African-American journalist and NBC 12 anchor Chris Thomas. We don't even hate our enemies. The KKK is known for many violent acts, not near as many as the United States government. The KKK only killed, in the last 7,500 years, maybe 50, but even none of those were official. But the United States government has killed millions. It now says it's no longer a white supremacist group, not even racial anymore. We'll recruit a Negro any day of the week, but a white separatist group. Well, okay, that's okay. Keeping in line with modern racist ideology, in their view, each racial group should have its own area and keep to itself. Well, you don't have to keep to yourself. You can have trade between races and different racial nations. You can have exchanges, cultural exchanges in music and everything else if you want to. Just, you don't copulate, baby. The Southern Poverty Law Center, now here, this is the word from on high, and the Pope of the Southern Millionaires Law Center, Morris Sleaze Dees, a legal advocacy organization that makes a tremendous, tremendous amount of money, millions, specializing in civil rights and public interest litigation, has labeled the Rebel Brigade Knights of the KKK a hate group. Well, I didn't expect him to say they were a love group. Marty Jewell, the education chairman with the Richmond NAACP, said that to this day they have not disavowed themselves as being domestic terrorists. Quote, liar, liar, pants on fire, I don't buy it, Jewell concluded. Okay, so they're terrorists. What are you going to do about it? I don't think the Klan is ever going to terrorize anybody anymore anyhow, so forget that. The biggest terror they spread is maybe burning a 3-foot cross on some surprised and actually jovial Negro's lawn after he sees it out in his yard watching a nigger ball game. Goes out there and stomps on it or pisses on it. And that's the KKK of today. That's about as far as they're going to go. Boys and girls, I want to warn you. Down in Goose Creek, South Carolina, KKK flyers showed up on a low country neighborhood mailboxes late at night. Has happened before, but when they showed up in a Goose Creek neighborhood late Saturday night, there was a difference in the packages that concerned at least a few residents. Quote, it had candy inside the bag and an invitation to join the KKK, said Becca Murphy. The candy is what concerned and angered Murphy because she says it may be tainted, might be poisoned or something. Quote, the main thing that concerns me is the candy. School starts back tomorrow. People are aware of it, but kids are very attracted to candy. And even though it rots their teeth out. And it concerns me that we don't know what is in this candy or what's happening to this candy, if it's been messed with or anything. Wow. Again, all up in the arms in Goose Creek. Goose Creek police said Monday that distributing the flyers is a violation of the city ordinance. Well, your city ordinance is unconstitutional, asshole. But because no one got a clear look at the people throwing the KKK material into the residents' yards, police have suspended their investigation until more leads develop. Barney Fife was called in for his opinion, and he gave it. Murphy called it outrageous for members of the KKK to come through her neighborhood. Yeah. We allow Negroes, all kinds of people like that, illegal aliens carrying guns and drugs. That's okay, but not the KKK. Murphy called police and met with an officer. She handed off some of the packets for the police investigation and says residents in Fairfax and Crowfield also woke up Sunday morning to find the hate group's recruitment letters. Oh, my God. They had to run those damn candies down to the lab, and Murray Fife, he drove the car. Murphy says she didn't see who threw the trash in her yard. Quote, I woke up this morning and I found these, it was almost like trash was thrown in my yard, you know? And I usually pick up trash if it's thrown in the yard. About halfway to my truck, I realized what it was, she said. But her neighbor, alerted by his barking dog, saw a strange SUV. I wonder what that looked like. She said, Murphy says, the neighbor thought it was a newspaper delivery vehicle at first, but then said something was off about that vehicle. She says it was a black SUV, you know, like a nigger, with dark tainted windows, you know, like a nigger. Yeah. Quote, I had some of my brother's friends and him go through the neighborhood and pick up as many of these flyers and papers as they could because they like candy to protect the kiddies from getting this candy when they walk to school. Murphy says she also tried to pick up as many packets as she could find from her black neighbor's lawns because this would have devastated them. I'll do anything for my black neighbors. She's also reaching out to several Goose Creek community websites to alert them that there's KKK candy in the neighborhood. Kids are hateful because they're taught. Well, I don't know. I think kids can become pretty hateful just by observation. When an infant's born, it doesn't know anything. Well, it doesn't know enough not to stick its hand in a rattlesnake's nest either. It learns words from adults and all that other stuff. It also learns this, and this is hate, Murphy said. She's figured out that the Ku Klux Klan hates its enemies and wants to recruit its enemies. We'll do anything to be liked, said the Grand Master of the KKK. I can look past this because this is hate. Everybody has their opinions, but candy is what really concerns me. She took that candy and ate every damn bit of it, I'll bet you. I don't know about you, but I can't take any more for this day. I can take it tomorrow. I'll come back again tomorrow and talk about candy and the Ku Klux Klan if you want. But if not, we'll try to find something else to talk about. And I'm glad to be back in the saddle again. Out where a friend is a friend. Yeah. Bye-bye.
North on Interstate 75, with a nervous fading beauty sitting by his side, and a pistol that he used to pave the way down the long black stretches of a dark highway. Ray bought his future with a pound of lead, then he robbed a liquor store and left the clerk for dead. That kid should have put the money in a sack, but he didn't, and now there ain't no turning back. He's a desperate rider, he's a Jesse James. The best that he can hope for is a household name. There ain't nobody that a man can trust when all his headlines read notorious. With the lights off to avoid the roadblock, Ray killed the motor at the county line, changed his Tennessee plate to a lost tag sign. He would never ask what the boy had done, but he said he'd be his hostage if he needed one. Her mama raised her to be loyal and true, and she figured that's the least she could do. She was lost and lonely on the midnight ride, reluctant Bonnie.